What's up? What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, because it doesn't necessarily take a never-before-seen business idea to have a never-before-seen impact on your life. I'm joined today by a longtime Side Hustle Show listener, and we actually recorded this on his last day of college. While he was a full-time student, Johnny Robinson, who goes by @SqueegeeGod on Twitter, built orange window cleaning into a multi-six-figure operation. We haven't quite closed the books on 2021 yet, but do you have a sense of where you expect to end up revenue-wise for the cleaning business, window cleaning business?
Yeah, so we'll do just under $700,000. It's mostly window cleaning, but we also do Christmas lights to keep the guys busy in the off-season, so November, December.
Now, window cleaning obviously isn't the world's most innovative business, but I think Johnny's example illustrates the opportunity that exists in businesses that are already out there, and in some cases, just applying a little modern marketing to them. Stick around in this episode to learn how Johnny got his first customers, the marketing engine you can borrow for your own business, how he fulfills the work, and the tools and tech that he uses to manage the whole operation. Notes and links to all the resources mentioned in this episode are at sidehustlenation.com/window. While you're there, make sure to download my free local marketing checklist. 10 quick things you can do to get more profitable local leads for your business. Again, that's at sidehustlenation.com/window or through the show notes in the episode description of your podcast player app. This story starts, like a lot of side hustles do, with a less than satisfying day job. Ready? Let's do it.
Growing up, I didn't have any types of entrepreneurs in my family. I come from a pretty poor family. And I thought you needed a degree to start a business. So like, I thought you needed to go do your 4 years, get a business degree, and then you can open up whatever type of business you wanted. That's how I thought business worked. And I found out after getting my first job and dealing with managers for the first time, instantly after my first, it was a lifeguarding job in the summer of 2016. And during that job, I immediately knew I'm going to ride out this summer. I'm going to, you know, stack some cash up because it was my first job. I had no money. And I'm never going to work for someone again. I cannot do this. And because during the time at the job, I found out you didn't need a degree to start a business. And I started kind of Googling up business ideas. I was listening to your show, how I built this. And my best friend, Sergio, from high school, or actually from middle school, asked me to hang out one day. So I went, we skipped class, we went to the beach. And I asked him, like, what he wanted to do once he graduated. And he told me he was civil engineering degree. And he's like, I want to get my, you know, good paying job with my benefits. And that's what I want to do. I was like, okay, cool. Well, how about this, dude? Did you know you didn't need a degree to start a business? Why don't we go start a business? And thought nothing of it. Nothing really came of it until a week later. He called me and he's like, hey, I've been watching some Gary Vee and I've been thinking about what you said. I want to start a business. So I was like, okay, cool. Let's start brainstorming. So we just started Googling ideas and he was just laying on my bed. And he's like, dude, why don't we clean windows? And I'm like, car windows? And he's like, yeah, car windows. I'm like, so you're telling me you want to go stand at the gas station and charge like $5 to clean car windows? We're not gonna make any money, bro. And he's like, yeah, you're probably right. But I Google window cleaning and I find out it's an actual industry where people get commercial buildings, storefronts, residential, they all need their windows cleaned. And so started watching some different YouTubers and we're like, hey, we could do this. We watched this one YouTuber and he's like, I sold 48 accounts in 24 hours. My back was against the wall, eviction notices, and now I got these 48 window cleaning accounts. It's that easy. And we're like, why can't we do this too? And that's what that sparked it and been doing window cleaning ever since.
So at the beginning, you were kind of idea agnostic, just scrolling through different lists of business ideas until you find one that sounds somewhat interesting, somewhat doable.
Our whole criteria for a business to start was that we needed to make money quickly, like be profitable quickly.
Okay. Was there any research into the state of the market, the competitive analysis in your local area of like other companies already doing this stuff?
Not really. I kind of just sent Sergio $75 and he put in $75 and we bought a bucket, a squeegee and a polo off Amazon and just started going knocking on doors. I didn't even know Yelp or Google My Business. Like I didn't know how to do any of that yet. Funny enough.
Okay. So this is the startup cost, $150 worth of materials and then hitting the streets, cold calling, just residential neighborhoods, commercial neighborhoods. Like who are you targeting here?
We started with storefronts. So like I'll tell you a funny story. The first store we pitched was this donut shop, right? It's still there. It's across the street from my house. And we walk in there and we're like, hey, can we clean your windows? And they look at us and they're like, yeah, if you do a good job, we'll pay you. Like, if we'll pay you if we like it.
Okay.
We're like, sick, let's do it. We clean the windows and it's like two small little panes of glass. And what now, if like we were still out in the field cleaning the windows, it'd probably take us 10 minutes. It took us probably like an hour.
Okay.
We're still learning. And then they decide once we're done, like, yeah, good job. Like, it looks really good, but how about we pay you in donuts? And then they stack a box, a dozen size box full of donuts and like the cheesy croissants and stuff. And they give us the donuts. And it was like a midday. So they were all, you know, cold and dried out. But I mean, we were stoked about it. And that was kind of our first job we landed.
That was the first customer. Nice. Yeah, prove yourself. Like, get some reps in, practice, learn how to actually clean a window. That's probably a good skill to have if you're running this business. What happens after that?
After that, we were like, okay, being paid in donuts was cool, but we need to actually make some money now. So the next day we went down to this little historical downtown area that's maybe 4 miles down the road from my house. And we just started going hard, pitching everybody, hey, can we clean your windows? Oh, your guy's doing it for 20, we'll do it for 15, you know, stuff like that. We landed our first paying job at this dry cleaner for $12. That took us an hour and a half.
for two people.
Two people, yeah. $12, an hour and a half. And then we went next door to that spot. We got the mechanic for $40. So that was, we were stoked on that. That took us an hour. We're at $20 an hour. Let's go. And then we ended up getting the burger spot across the street for $50 a month. And then we were stoked about that. And we ended up just crushing it that week and just getting a lot of accounts. And we stuck with the storefront route for a while for that whole first year of 2017. And we probably did a total of like, I don't know, $5,000, if that, top line.
Yeah. So you're going door to door on these commercial storefronts and saying, hey, can we clean your windows? Like, very basic pitch. And the response is either no, they're not that dirty. No, we'll do it ourselves. No, we already have somebody who's doing it. And then you could say, well, what are they charging you? And so it's kind of a way to get, you know, really in front of the target customers in a meaningful way. Like, look, I got my squeegee. I'm ready to go right now. Is that kind of how you guys were playing it?
Exactly. Yeah. So we were carrying our bucket around with us and the squeegee. So we were like, if you say yes right now, we'll clean the windows right now. And we ran into lots of different objections. Like you said, a big one was they already had someone. And lots of the times, like, they would have their window cleaners for 10 plus years. So it was kind of crazy.
Which is probably a good sign too. Like, that if you can land a customer, especially if you're not, you know, not necessarily conquesting market share from somebody else, but if you can land a new customer who wasn't used to previously paying for this service, there were signs that they might stick around for a while.
Right, exactly. They're really sticky. The customers were extremely sticky because it was really hard to screw up. And a big benefit that we had was we were young, right? We're still young, but back then we were, you know, 19 years old. Uh-huh. And you could just tell, like, oh, these kids just want to make some money. So we got a lot of support in that way, of people just like appreciating the hustle.
Yeah. Let's talk about the next stage of the business. So you're doing these kind of commercial accounts, one-off, door-to-door, cold calling type of thing, and you're getting customers, you're making money. And what happens next in the following year?
So the following year, we were like, okay, we got to get out of storefronts because there's not that much money in it. And the time it takes to go out and pitch customers for $20 and just get pretty much kicked in the mouth for a whole day of just no, 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 no. And then finally to get one yes and for it to only be $20, it just wasn't worth it to us. So like, yeah. How do we get into residential? And so I was actually out pitching one day, and I was just getting told no, no, after no, after no, after no. And I was sitting in my car and I see a van pass by me, and it's a Hardy's Windows. It's a window contractor, big window contractor here in Orange County. And I was like, huh, I wonder if after they install windows, they need someone to clean them. I'll just call. And so I called them. I'm like, hey, do you guys need window cleaning for the stuff you guys install? And they're like, no, we do that in-house. And I was like, oh, damn. So I thought I was like some mastermind sitting in my car, that I was about to get so much work. And then that happened. And I was like, okay, who else could refer me to residential houses? And so I'm like, oh, probably maid services. I know maid services don't carry the right equipment to clean residential windows, especially two stories up. on the exterior. So let me call the maid services. So I call the first three on Yelp, the top three, and they all, they're like, yeah, I'll pass you some window cleaning work. Just give me a little kickback. So it's like, all right, perfect. The first two I called of the three, we structured a deal where they would refer us and we'd give them 15% of the job. So that's how we started to get our first residential work coming in.
Oh, interesting. So setting up a strategic partnership type of thing. We're looking for who your target customers are already doing business with. In this case, the maid services. Hey, you're already spending money cleaning the inside of your house. Why don't you make the outside look nice? We have a trusted partner in this window cleaning arena. Did they ask for any sort of references, like check the quality of your work, or just like, hey, nobody else has ever called us up about that before. We'll send you some work for 15%.
So the first one, we actually had to do a job for free so she could start sending us work. And we did her friend's house and city nearby. And she ended up really liking it. So she started giving us work. The other ones, they wanted to meet us at their office. So me and Sergio showed up all like dressed out, like business attire and everything showed up, and they were sitting there like with their normal clothes on. I could tell they were like, look at these kids, like type of thing, you know? So it was kind of funny, but they met us in person and they were cool with it. So, I mean, it worked out well and it got us some jobs, but the real turning point didn't come until we started to understand reputation and digital marketing. So one of those cleaning companies actually told us, hey, you need to make a Yelp account. You need to get reviews on Yelp. And so we're like, okay. We just took her advice. We made the Yelp account and we started asking all our customers, hey, can you leave us a Yelp review? Can you leave us a Yelp review? And slowly but surely, the Yelp reviews just started flowing in, and we ranked on Yelp on the first page. And then we started to see so many more jobs come in just organically without spending any money on Yelp. And we're like, wow, we should do this with Google My Business too. And so we started learning more about different softwares that we could add on to help us get more reviews quicker. We started to look at competition now at their websites, saw that their websites were bad, like 99%. You can't get a quote online.
Okay.
How do we do online quoting? How do we make a nice website? And we started kind of just figuring all this stuff out and spending a bunch of money, like all the money we're making, we started spending on different softwares and different kind of systems. Some things worked, some things didn't. And we just, the stuff that didn't work, we got rid of it. And the stuff that stuck, we just continue to double down on it.
Yeah, by collecting reviews on these platforms and, you know, just building up a presence there, it's a way to turn one client into two clients, into three, four, hopefully five, by virtue of this reputation marketing. If somebody, you've already gotten in front of someone either through this, you know, referral arrangement or through cold calling, and to say, okay, could you leave us a review? So if somebody happens to be searching for this, that's a hot lead anyways. If you can get in front of them by having a presence and a positive presence, you know, a well-reviewed presence on these other platforms, now all of a sudden you're off to the races there. What did you find effective? Because it's like, yeah, it's easy to, okay, well, I asked everybody for a review, but then, yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it. And it's hard to really hammer home the importance of like, no, I really need you to go leave this review.
Now we have like scripts and everything where technicians will ask, our admin will ask over the phone, and then they get an automated link through the software that we use. So the software that we use really helps us. Like, so we, on Google My Business, we went from 5 reviews to, I think we're at like 140 now in a year.
Wow.
So that's been great for us.
What's the software tool?
It's Nice Job. So nicejob.co. But yeah, it's a lot of almost being pushy without making it feel like we're being pushy in a way, if that makes sense. So like you really have to like, hey, can you leave that review? Can you leave that review? But word it in a way in which you're not bugging them.
I've heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, that Google My Business reviews are in a way easier to collect than Yelp, because, you know, sometimes the Yelp algorithm, like if that person isn't a habitual Yelp reviewer, it tends to weight that less or sometimes won't even show up, versus anybody with a Google account can leave a Google review. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you were to come onto my Google page, I said, hey, Nick, can you leave me a review on Google? And you did it, it would stick on there. And it could be one of the ones that are shown for the next years to come. But if I say, hey, Nick, can you go on Yelp and leave a review? I guarantee you somehow Yelp is going to know that it's not legitimate and they're going to put it in not recommended. And yeah, like you said, the way to get the Yelp reviews to stick is either have a Yelp Elite user leave a review or add a picture to your review. Either of those two things are way more likely to make your review stick. But yes, to answer your question, Google My Business is, I would say, 10 times easier to collect reviews on than Yelp is.
Okay. Did you do anything else with the Google My Business profile listing to make it stand out or have it rank better, or reviews really the main factor there?
Reviews were the main factor, but it was just like, you know, consistently updating it with new pictures. And then whenever you post a picture, tag the location. This goes for Yelp and Google. So add a caption and the location on any picture you post onto Yelp or Google My Business. It helps out a ton with ranking.
So as the business owner, you're allowed to post your own pictures, like if you're doing a kind of before and after, or here's the job that we just did, that kind of thing?
Right, exactly. So you'd be like, here I am cleaning windows in, you know, Newport Beach, and it's you squeegeeing a window or something.
Okay. Because now they're going to show somebody searching for window cleaning Newport Beach, like all of a sudden you've fed it some data to work with.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. On the website front, and this is one of the reasons I'm bullish on these types of home services businesses, because like the entrenched competition isn't as savvy as you are with the digital marketing, the website, the online quoting that you mentioned. Like, talk to me about getting the website set up and just building a modern presence that's easy to do business with. Because I see this all the time. It's like, you know, fax us for a quote, call us for a quote. It's like, could you just give me a ballpark? Like, I want to just know if it's, yeah, you know, if we're even in the realm of possibility. So I guess a two-part thing, like, I want to know about, you know, how you figured out the actual mechanics of the pricing thing, and then the website portion of this and how that has played into the growth.
Starting out, we have like two pillars of like, okay, we need frictionless customer experience. So when they call, and then we need to have flat rate pricing. You have those two things in any home service business, you'll beat anybody, because all customers want to do is pick up the phone and get a price. They don't want to get put on hold, wait for the next receptionist. They don't want to leave a voicemail. If you call the top 10 people on Yelp or Google, 8 of them are going to answer their phones. I guarantee it. So you do all those things, you're already winning. And so if you can translate that onto the internet, onto your website, and so now there's a lot of leads out there who don't want to pick up the phone and call you, surprisingly enough. So if you can set up your website to translate that flat rate pricing and then frictionless booking process straight through the website, you're going to capture that many more leads, because, you know, a lot of people don't like to call. And so the way we figured that out was using Nice Job. We had them try to upsell us a website, and we were like, like, our website's good. And then we looked at our website and we're like, we kind of built it on WordPress in like a day, and it wasn't great, not optimized for SEO or anything. So we were like, you know what, let's give Nice Job a try. So Nice Job comes in, they build us a website, and it's still to this day the website we have. And through their website, they made it really easy to integrate other software. So we use a software for online booking, our CRM that we manage all our customer data and job schedules and who's going to what job, like which subcontractors are going to which job.
Okay. Which tool is that?
So that's Housecall Pro, and then our online booking is ResponsiBid. And so we're like, oh, we can integrate all three of these things together, and we're going to have the best freaking website in the county. And we did just that. And to this day, still nobody is using that stack in the county. We're the only ones with online booking.
This edition of the Side Hustle Show is brought to you by the Blogging Millionaire Podcast. Is your blog missing out on valuable Google search traffic? Are you spending hours creating amazing content only to get crickets? You need a guide, someone to help you discover actionable SEO and traffic building tactics that actually work. And your solution is Brandon Gailey and his Blogging Millionaire Podcast. Brandon collectively gets more than 5 million monthly visitors from over 100,000 first page Google rankings. The guy knows what he's talking about. When you apply what you'll learn, you'll start to see every blog post compete for a first page ranking. Some of his listeners have gone from 10,000 to 100,000 visitors a month using his techniques. Open up your podcast app right now and do a search for Blogging Millionaire to find Brandon's show. Then follow that podcast and commit to downloading the last 5 episodes. And you don't have to take just my word for it. The show has more than 500 five-star ratings on Apple Podcasts alone. Big thanks to Brandon and the Blogging Millionaire Podcast for sponsoring this edition of the Side Hustle Show. Okay. How do you figure out the flat rate pricing? Because it's, well, you know, how many windows do you have? If we show up to this job and you're like, it's a wall of glass, you're like, well, shoot, we really underbid this thing.
Yeah. So we don't do any in-person bids anymore. That was a big thing for us, was we wanted to flat rate it because we didn't want to do in-person bids. So as our marketing engine started to get better and better, we were getting more leads and bigger houses. So we would be getting calls of like, you know, we got to go all the way down to South Orange County for a bid, do a couple over there, and then come back, do some more bids. And it was just taking too much time. And it was actually cleaning windows is working in the business. And when you transition from working as a technician to the sales guy, it feels a little bit better. But after a while, it gets old too. And you're like, wow, I'm still working in the business. So we were like, we got to flat rate this and get rid of in-person bids. So what we did was we just came up with, we have a per window pricing. And we just let the customer know, look, this is our flat rate. We charge, we don't tell them what we charge per window, but we ask them, how many windows do you have? So if Nick, you were to say, I have 20 windows, we charge $15.75 a window. So I would know, okay, $315. We can clean your windows inside and out, the tracks, the screens, the sills, and the frames on the exterior for $315. This is only removal of dirt and dust. We're not removing any construction, any debris, any paint adhesives. We're not detailing the tracks. We're going to wipe the tracks down. So we're really good at setting expectations. And then I'm also going to tell you, I'm not going to tell you, our admin will tell you, but, and if the window count is different than what you told us when we get there, we will change the price. And that probably happens on a daily basis where we have to up the price. But because we said that, they can't really do anything about it because we made it very clear to them, like, look, if you're going to not give us an accurate window count, then we're going to, price you accordingly.
Are people deliberately undercounting their windows, or they're just like, oh shoot, I forgot about that one on the side of the house?
I think 99% of the time it's just like they'll count like four windows as one when it's like obviously there's one window, but
like a multi-pane. Okay.
Yeah, it's not on purpose most of the time. There I think sometimes though people do try to get better prices by giving a lower window count.
Okay. Fair enough. Like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe they won't call me on this. Okay. So you and Sergio are in class during the day, during the evening, and the phone starts ringing. Like, what's that process like early on? And it sounds like maybe you've got, admin people to help out with that now, but curious how you have started and what you've transitioned to there.
Yeah. So for the first 3 years, I was taking all the calls and I was still using my personal number. So I would sit down in class, my phone would ring. And if it was a number I didn't know, I knew it was for window cleaning. And so I always put the business first. So as the business started to pick up, I would not care about school because I'd be like, okay, even if I'm in a final right now, I'm going to step out of class and take this because it could be $1,000 job. You don't know. So it was just constant like, oh, phone's vibrating. Let me step out. Let me take it. I'll either book it or don't. Come back in. And sometimes I'll come back in and right when I sit down, phone starts ringing again. So I have to go back out. And then same thing when we're in the field, right? So if we're out there cleaning windows, there's one point where Sergio did a job pretty much by himself because I was just getting nonstop calls on the phone. And, they're going to hear me like freaking grunting on the phone cleaning these windows and stuff. So it's kind of not a good look to be sitting there cleaning the windows while I'm talking on the phone. So that also created problems with like production and getting jobs done quick because I was taking phone calls. So
yeah, your professors and your classmates, like, who is this guy? What's going on here?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know. They never really told me anything, but
fair enough.
Yeah.
And what's the phone setup today?
So we have an admin taking all the calls. Initially, we had an in-house, or not in-house, but here in the United States, we had an admin that we were paying to answer the phones, respond to emails, basically full office manager. So took care of everything. That was to this day my best hire ever. Having an admin take all that off your plate is just, it's so nice and freed up my time a lot. But she had to go on maternity leave. So when she left and went on maternity leave, we realized we had a lot of holes in the business. We had to plug those holes. And so we tried to hire another admin here in the US and we weren't getting anyone quality. And so we kind of asked each other, like, why don't we just try a virtual assistant? So we hired a virtual assistant from the Philippines, and that's what we've been doing ever since. And she's been crushing it. She's closed on average about $3,000 a day, and she does it all from the Philippines.
Wow. So she's working night shift, her time, answering the phones for you guys and setting up jobs.
Exactly.
Did you have any hiring criteria that you were specifically looking for in that job search?
No, not really. We hired the first one we interviewed and she's been killing it. So she's great. She's amazing.
Okay. Wow. $3,000 a day. That's doing some serious volume now. How about on the fulfillment side? So it sounds like you have transitioned out of, getting up on ladders and doing this stuff yourself. So talk about the, delivering logistics of the actual jobs.
Yeah, so we ran the whole company off of W-2 employees. So we up to a point, we've had 7 W-2 employees, but we've since switched to using subcontractors. And when I say subcontractors, they're actual subcontractors. I'm not just calling them subcontractors, but they're really employees. So we during the summer, we bought another window cleaning business, and that doubled us overnight. And we got 2 universities with that business that we had to fulfill on top of, you know, like $50,000 worth of residential. So we were like, how do we do that? We don't have the team. We don't have, you know, the money to not the money, but we don't have the time to find a truck, get the equipment for that truck, put the rack on the truck, and then put out this hiring campaign, onboard all these guys, train them. It just was taking too much time. So we tried out a hybrid role of, okay, we're going to put the W-2s on the universities and we're going to use subs for the residential. And the subs were just outperforming all the W-2s because they were other business owners and they had their own equipment already that they cared about. And they've been cleaning windows for a while now.
Okay, so these were already established window washers, window cleaning companies to say, so you can approach them and say, do you need any help filling up your schedule? We've got some extra work we could use a hand with.
Right, exactly.
Okay, and then just take a margin on top.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily call them established window washing companies. They're more so guys, because the way we structure it is it's the subcontractor takes 50 to 60% of the job. We book it. We handle all the customer complaints. We handle the pricing, all that. They just complete the job. So we're in a way like their marketing arm, right? So they don't have to worry about getting jobs. They just get spoon-fed jobs and they take a lower cut than they normally would. An established company would never take that deal. So it's more so guys who invested in their own equipment and invested in all their stuff and they like to clean windows and they just want to get the work.
Okay, so you're removing all of the non-labor elements of this. Like, look, I'll tell you where to show up. You know, this job is already booked and paid for. And then you, in exchange for not having to deal with that, you take a slightly lower price than you normally would get.
Right, exactly.
Okay, because you found from doing all the cold calling, it's like, hey, yeah, the hourly rate when we get work is great, but it's all these no's that we had to deal with the rest of the day that really put a damper on that.
Yeah, exactly.
What about the recurring nature of this? And either this is maybe the virtual admin that's helping out, saying, okay, well, here's the, you know, price per window. Here's your one-time quote. But what's the effort like to say, well, we can come back every month, every 3 months? Like, what's a typical cadence for this type of thing?
Yeah, so we push for quarterly, but most people do bi-yearly or semi-annually, so twice a year.
Okay.
And we track that all through our CRM, and we have systems to like nurture our customers and kind of maintain the relationship so we can keep getting rebookings. And the way we do that is just a simple email campaign and